Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host, and joining me this morning, Frank Vizgaitis, President and Chief Operating Officer of Customer Centric Systems. But what he's here to talk about is what's going on with Georgia's universities that are not getting on the bandwagon of offering a business sales degree. And as we well know, that's everything. I mean, when you look at, you know, what we do here in America and all over, you got to have a sales degree. You really do. You got to be able to sell. How are you this morning, Frank?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Good, good. So what's going on? Why aren't we offering business sales degrees?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons that factor into it, but not the least of which is the kind of the stigma associated with the term sales and the term salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of universities don't view selling as a profession. They look at it as a standalone skill.
Wow. And you and I both know it's a profession.
Absolutely it is. And to be a well-rounded salesperson really requires knowledge, skills, and expertise in a wide variety of different areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, over the years, you look at how businesses or how corporate America has changed the name, account executives, account representatives, you know, different things to take that sales name off of it, so to speak.
Yeah, I find it kind of amusing that they think that by changing the title on the business card, that the buyer is not going to figure out that that's a salesperson sitting across from them.
Exactly. you say that selling skills are difficult to transfer. I disagree with that.
I don't think it's necessarily difficult to transfer.
Mm-mm.
But I think what you have to do is you have to understand the fundamental difference between education and training. Right, with education is strictly knowledge transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Training is skills transfer. And I think that's another reason that a lot of these higher education institutions might shy away from embracing sales as a discipline, because they know how to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they know how to train people.
Right, right. And I've been in some corporate sales trainings, and boy, it's deep and it's the art to it. And it would be awesome to be able to actually get a degree in business sales. That would be awesome.
To be well-rounded, it really does require a lot of effort, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming even more critical, I think, for salespeople as the whole world gets more commoditized.
That's right.
And products and services are harder and harder to differentiate based on their product features.
Mm-hmm.
That the salespeople and the companies that employ them have to rely on the customer's buying experience as a competitive differentiator.
Right.
And they're only going to have a positive buying experience if they're dealing with a sales professional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so true. It is so true. And also the way the world is now more digitized, you know, in technology, and a lot of sales, the part of sales or a piece of sales is moving to internet.
Absolutely it is. And so much information in today's day and age is at the fingertips of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to engage with salespeople. That a large portion of buying cycles are over before a salesperson ever engages.
That's true. That's true. You think about how we go on online and we compare, and then I go in the store and buy what I want, and they're trying to say, look, I've already researched, this is what I want, you know, and I'm sure it's the same.
Absolutely.
For everybody. So what does that salesperson do? They've got to have skills order to talk to me about that.
Well, I think the salesperson, first and foremost, has to have a proactive plan of how they're going to get you back into
mm-hmm.
the discussion around why are you looking to buy something in the first place. Because if all you're doing is formulating it based on the kind of vision that you've created in your own mind, then nobody's going to be able to differentiate themselves.
Wow.
It's having the patience to really take the buyer back to help me understand what you're hoping to accomplish by making this purchase decision.
Mm-hmm.
What is the desired business outcome that you're looking for?
So you talk about sellers are told what to do either by their managers or in books they read. These we're talking about some of the reasons why universities have not gotten on the bandwagon of offering a business sales degree. So that's one of those, right?
I think it is. And, you know, the real challenge is that many of the cases, I think the university views it as something that a company will take responsibility for once the person is hired. And that's where that whole manager interaction takes place. But the difficulty is that a lot of managers, they're very good at telling salespeople what to do, but they can't articulate and can't help them understand, now, how do you actually do that?
So is it just in Georgia? Are other colleges offering the business sales degree?
Well, in Georgia, of the 47 different colleges and universities throughout the state of Georgia, there's only five that offer any type of sales, formal sales curricula at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound like a kind of a harsh number or a negative type of number until you compare it to the nationwide statistic, which is out of the almost 4,200 colleges and universities, there's only 101 that offer that type of discipline.
Wow. That's small. That's really small.
That's small. And then you factor in that of that 101, there's only 14 of them that offer sales as a major and only 22 that offer it as a minor as part of your bachelor's degree. Yet for most companies, and I think for all companies, you know, sales is the revenue engine for the company. Yet we're hiring people out of college who, the analogy I draw is, it doesn't matter if I have a Formula One race car. If I have someone who doesn't know how to drive, that doesn't help me get it to where it wants to go.
That's so true. So if your product is A1, number one on the top, if a person doesn't know how to sell it, what are you going to do? Yeah,
exactly.
So what's the solution? What should we be doing?
Well, I think the solution, there's multiple parts to it. I think part of it is trying to alleviate or relieve that stigma associated with sales and really start to treat it and refer to it as a profession versus just a skill or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, I think we have to get the university system in this country and the higher education system to acknowledge that it is something that requires education and training in multiple different areas to create someone coming out of school who has a chance at being successful in the first position they typically take.
Absolutely. You think about that. A lot of the our most successful sales associates, meeting consultants, whatever they are, who are salespersons, they have a little age on them. They're successful. They're making six figures, but it was by trial and error. You know,
in most cases, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would be great to have our kids come out of school and hit the ground running, you know, as opposed to, well, I guess I have to work at this burger joint until I can find a job I can do, because sales is everywhere.
You know, it absolutely is. And, you know, the other kind of scary statistic is that only 27% of college graduates end up in a job that's related
to
the field of study they had in college.
That's right. That is scary, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, yeah. But it's happening every day. And a lot of times they pay so much money for that education, for that piece of paper.
I have a daughter that's going to be a senior in college. You don't have to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, being able to do it. So what do we do? How do we help this? What do we petition? We talk to? Who do we need to talk to get this going?
I think that it's incumbent, especially as speaking as a parent of a college student, I think it's part of that whole process of helping our kids select the right place to go, but also understanding that college is not just an exercise in 4 years of education for the sake of education. We want to be prepared to be successful at whatever we're going to do. And the reality of the situation is most people coming out of college with any type of business degree, sales is going to be one of their jobs, at least at some point in their career.
Absolutely. I just had a nephew tell me he was going to school in business, and I said, what are you going to do? And he said, I haven't decided yet, so I'm going to go back and talk to him about the kind of school he needs to go to make sure that if you want to do sales, then this is the school you need to go to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Where can folks go to get more information about this?
Well, they can either go to our website, which is www.customercentric.com, where we have additional information on this topic, as well as some recent research and a benchmark study that we've done. And additionally, DePaul University out of Illinois publishes every 2 years a sales leadership study, that talks about and on their website documents where are the places, where are the universities and colleges where you can get an education and potentially even a degree in sales.
Okay, great information. Frank Viscatus, President and Chief Operating Officer of Customer-Centric Systems. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tawanda.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Tawanda Black. Have you ever thought about our world population? Well, Pam Wasserman, she's Senior Vice President of Education at Population Connection, is here to talk about World Population Day. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
First of all, tell us about Population Connection.
Well, we're a nonprofit. We're based in Washington, D.C., and the organization was started in the late 1960s, around the time the population was less than 4 billion. Today, we're over 7 billion people.
Wow. Wow. So we're celebrating World Population Day, Saturday, July 11th, and you're launching an interactive website.
That's right, worldpopulationhistory.org. And it's a great site to find out more about all of the different events and inventions and movements that shaped world population history, but also to look at what the projections are as we go forward into this century.
Okay, so what are we in store for as far as our population in the next few years?
Right, so we're at 7.3 billion, and the United Nations is projecting us to grow to 10, possibly 11 billion by 2100. Mm-hmm. So we're still expected to add 2 to 3 billion people, even though population growth has slowed. We're still adding the equivalent of the population of Germany to the world population every year. That's about 80 million people a year.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy. Now,
and they're all flying through the Atlanta airport, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So are these people being born or are they migrating into America?
Well, so the population growth here in the U.S. is starting to stabilize. So about half of our population growth now is due to immigration, but half is what we call natural increase, babies being born. The average here is about 2 children per family, but in the places where population is growing the fastest, especially some of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa, some countries, the average is still 6 to 7 children per family.
Good grief. We can't afford that.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. So you've got this interactive timeline, and it showcases over 370 milestones, including the major inventions of our times. I bet that's really interesting.
It is. And some that we're showcasing really have to do with things that increased life expectancy. Mm-hmm. So thinking about the microscope, and that sort of led to all of our advances in modern medicine. The flush toilet, something we take for granted here, but about a third of the world population don't have them. And so those areas still are experiencing incidents of waterborne illness that we don't even think about today.
It's true. It's true. You talk about oil wells, which is something huge.
It is. So, you know, we are so dependent on fossil fuels, and it's improved our living conditions immensely. But we also know there are downsides to that, you know, looking at what's happening with our climate today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our health is definitely connected to that, which is, you know, you never think about how things are connected.
Right, and that's what World Population Day is really meant to do, is to get people to look into these issues a little bit more.
So tell folks where they can go to see all the great information and this new website that you're launching.
It's worldpopulationhistory.org.
All right, worldpopulationhistory.org. And is that also connected to Population Connection?
Yes, the Population Connection website. You can access through worldpopulationhistory.org, and that one is popconnect.org.
All right. Pam Wasserman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.